Amen. Hey, what an awesome Sunday it has already been. So I am Truett Treadaway. I am not the pastor here, but my dad, Brian, Pastor Brian, he is the pastor here. And he texted me at about 7:15 last night and he said, hey, I'm not really feeling too good. And I was thinking, okay, does this mean he's about to ask me to preach? Kind of hoping, I hope I have longer than just about 12 hours to prepare. And so I'm like, oh, I hate to hear that. A little bit of time passes by and he texts me, says, might want to get some thoughts together. I said, all right. So here we are. I am preaching this morning and I'm very glad for this opportunity because I know it's going to be powerful. I know it's going to be great. So we are going to be continuing in this series, Welcome to the Table, where we are talking about we're going through the book of Ephesians and we're seeing what God has for us there. So again, I'm super excited for today. But before we get into Ephesians, I do want to set our trajectory with some other passages, all right? So if you would please grab your Bible or your phone, whatever it is, and turn to Psalm 119. That is where we're going to be starting today, Psalm 119, all right? So if you have your phone or an actual physical Bible, if you are like that, which is awesome, turn there, Psalm 119. We're going to be starting in verse 9. What I want to do also is I want to start with our sermon title. As simple as the words are, I believe that this is a stronghold that people have been deceived to not believe. And it really changes the trajectory of your life based on your belief on this statement. So our sermon title for today is this: Your Life Can Change. Your Life Can Change. Because we believe in a God who turns sinners into saints, yes? We believe in the God who redeems us, who changes us and restores us and changes the core of who we are. So if we believe that about salvation, about whenever we are sinners turned to saints, then we need to continue to believe this, even in the areas that seem difficult to believe, right? That your life can change. And if your life can change, that means someone else's life can change, right? The family member's life can change. Your spouse's life can change. So it is important to know and agree to this statement: your life can change. So let's start with Psalm 119. Again, starting in verse 9, we're going to go to verse 16 here. So follow along, as I always like to say, please underline, circle, highlight, something like that. I say that all the time to the youth here in the church because I want people to have marked up Bibles, right? I want people who are engaging with what is going on in the passage. So Psalm 119, we're going to start in verse 9. It says this: How can a young man cleanse his way? Says, by taking heed according to your word. And then the author of this says, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Verse 12 says, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. And then verse 15 and 16, the verses I think are absolutely incredible out of this. It says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. So this chapter of the Psalms is just laying out the beauty and the importance of the scriptures. And not just that it's good for, oh, hey, whenever you're in a tough spot, open up that Bible, it'll give you some answers. That's good and nice and true, yes. It gives answers to the hard times in life, but it's deeper than that. It's more than that. It is not just for the, I need a field guide. I need instructions for my marriage. I need to know how to raise a child. So I better turn to this as just like an instruction manual to life. It is the word of God. It is God's breath into our life. It's the way our creator has revealed himself to us, right? this is all of the things in which he says, this is what I want my creation to know about me. I want them to know how I have moved throughout history, and I want this to impact their lives. So I think this would be a good spot to pause, and we're going to do a prayer for this sermon and for our hearts today. So would y'all please join me in prayer? God, I do pray for your spirit of wisdom and revelation to be here in this place as we go through your word, as we see what you say about us and how this impacts our life, how this changes us. God, I pray you would give us the faith to expect and believe for change for someone else. But God, I pray you would also give us the faith to expect and believe for change in us. God, we know that you save sinners and make them saints. You make us a new creation. So God, I pray that we would see that continuing in the lives of those here at Vertical. Lord, tear down the stronghold of a lie that says, I could never change. This family member could never change. God, I pray you would change that in us and that we would stand confident in our identity as your children. Lord, we pray these things in your name. Amen. So again, these words from Psalm 119, beautiful. The heart cry of someone who truly values the word of God, who values what God says to us, who he has revealed himself to us to be, right? So this idea of your life can change, as we see from here. It begins with the scriptures, as we see in that verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? How can he be clean from his past and cleanse his way that's ahead of him? It is by being in the word. It's by knowing who God is. It's by understanding his character. It changes your life as you spend time with him. We see from the passage that it guards us from sin, from chaos, ruining our life. His word guards us from that. And we see that it's worth meditating on, contemplating, and delighting in. It's beyond just the instructions. I'll use the verse a day, as good as that is. I'm a fan of it. But our love and time in the Bible ought to go beyond just, oh, when I'm in a crunch, let me see what this has to say. But this is our breath, that we live in the presence of God, hearing from him. And so that is what produces change in your life, right? Again, these words from God are, these words, as in the word, is worthy of honor. It's worthy of our time to be in his presence. And the words from God literally change our life. Again, whenever you pick up your Bible and you read stories like Joseph, where you see a man who has suffered tremendously at the hands of others, because they have done him wrong, yet he is still able to trust in God, being able to bring about good from tragedy, that inspires us and changes us in the way we view our life, that we say, okay, in this tragedy that I'm suffering, in this way that I'm suffering at the hand of other people, I'm going to choose to believe in the same God that carried Joseph to carry me as well, yes? This is what the word of God does. It changes our life in this way. Again, same for the stories of redemption in the Bible, like the story of Ruth. Whenever we read these stories, it gives us the hope and faith to pray for someone else to have their life redeemed just as Ruth's life was redeemed. Or maybe it's belief for yourself that God has done this, he can do this, and I believe he will change my life still. Same for the stories of when the arrogant are brought low and the humble are exalted, like we see in the story of Saul and David. Whenever we see these stories and we read these stories beyond just the, what's the one verse? What's the one thing that's going to get me out of the crunch? But whenever you begin to see the stories of God and how he works with his people, it's important to get bigger context than just a little something to get you through a day, but to read a story like Saul and David where you see an evil king lose his kingdom because of his arrogance. And God says, I'm putting you down. And because of the humility of David, he says, I'm raising you up and you will be in a place of prominence. This inspires us then to say, okay, I will continue in humility. I will not try to be like the arrogant because I see they prosper, but instead I'm going to choose to believe that God honors those who are humble. He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This changes our life. It ought to change our life whenever we see these patterns in the way in which God works. And again, whenever we get the revelations from Paul's letters to the churches, where he's revealing that God's peace can settle your soul deeper than any pills possibly could, that is something to say, wow, that changes my life. That God's peace can settle someone who has the threat of life against them. Whenever I see that anxiety can be relieved by trusting in God's sovereignty, by trusting in his hand on my life, if he's carried me through today, he will carry me through tomorrow. I do not have to worry. It is not in my hands to make sure everyone else does all the right things. It's only in God's hand. So your anxiety relieved by his sovereignty. And then also whenever you realize from the scriptures that it's God's grace that can only wash away the shame of anything that has happened in your past. This changes your life. It changes who you are at your core, and it changes the trajectory of where you are headed then, yes? This is why it's important to spend time in the Word. Again, your life can change. And when I say this, I don't just mean, hey, your life's just gonna change naturally all by itself for the good every single time. I wish that was the way it worked, but it's not. Your life changes whenever you are putting in the work. Your life changes when you choose humility. Your life changes whenever you spend time meditating on God's word. When you contemplate what he has to say, again, beyond just the, oh yeah, okay, what was that one verse? How does that apply to right now? Doesn't? Well, Bible must be useless then. I mean, come on. We've got to have a little bit of a longer attention span than that, yes? To where we are saying, okay, Lord, I see this story and my life, I need the same grace that you showed here. So God, I'm going to believe for this and I'm going to believe and believe and believe. Even whenever it's tough, even whenever I'm suffering, I'm going to choose to believe you are still good. You are still seeing me through this time. Your life can change, but it takes work. It takes sitting at the feet of Jesus, asking, seeking, knocking, and waiting, and hoping, and praying, and believing. Yes? Beyond just the right here, right now, I need a fix. Come on, help me. I'm believing in a longer process for a better outcome, right? Not the microwave society, but maybe more like a crock pot. Gotta love it, you know? The smoker, they say low and slow, and next thing you know, you're eating a 12-hour smoked brisket, and you're like, this is the greatest thing ever. Better than if it were to have been microwaved, yes? I would say. So, I don't know even how long you'd have to put that in a microwave, but probably a really long time. But your life can change, right? And it requires patience, waiting on the Lord, trusting in him continually. So one more passage I want to get to, then we'll get to our Ephesians. This is pretty straightforward wisdom from the book of Proverbs. So if you have your Bible now, go to Proverbs chapter 4, all right? Proverbs chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 20. This is straightforward wisdom from this king, the wisest king who has ever lived, King Solomon, that explains how change actually takes place in your life. He says this, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them." That sounds like something worth finding, yes? It sounds like something worth pursuing, worth seeking after. If it is actually life to the person who finds it. And it says, it is health to all their flesh. Here at Vertical, we talk about dis-ease often, right? Pastor Brian will say, hey, disease is really just dis-ease, as in your whole being is misaligned And in reading and spending time in the Word and with God and being obedient to do what it says, you have health to all your flesh. And then verse 23, probably the most famous one from this chapter for sure, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. It is necessary. It is of great importance, maybe the most important thing, to keep your heart. Defend your heart from lies that are going to pop up, right? Where lies, whenever you're going through pain and you have that pull to say, why am I even doing this? This is useless. This is a waste of my time to continue waiting when God has yet to answer me. But instead, we keep our heart with all diligence, because from it spring the issues of life. Your habits, your actions, your thought patterns all stem from this idea of the heart, the core of who you are, the place where you connect with the Lord. So we are to keep this with all diligence. Let's continue on here a little more. Verse 24 says this, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and let your eyelids, you love that. Never have I really read, do this with your eyelids, but I thought that's pretty great. And your eyelids look right before you. But this idea at the beginning, put away from you a deceitful mouth, this idea of the trash talk, the condemning others, man, they just always make the worst decisions and blah, blah, blah. You know, you can just trash talk people easily, right? Very, very easy to slander someone because it feels good for you and it puts them down and maybe even makes you look better. But it is an intentional, willful division that you're making with your mouth. And as much as this applies to relating to others, I want to also apply this very much into the way in which you talk about yourself, all right? The way in which you perceive yourself. What are the things in which you're saying to who you are? Because as bad as it is to slander, condemn, shame other people, it is also a very bad thing, unhealthy thing to look at yourself, look at your life, and just spend time, man, you're just a failure, you're a loser, you're the worst, and you're... Right? This is a deceitful mouth that is speaking to you, right? And you have this decision to agree or defend. Agree or defend. So we must be diligent to defend our own selves from the deceitful mouth of that enemy of your soul, the accuser of the brethren that wants to hinder any ounce of change from happening in your life, right? He does not want to see you flourish. He wants to see you killed and destroyed. But the God, the creator that you have, desires to see you looking straight ahead. Your eyelids look right before you, right? So let's look at this last part of Proverbs 4. It says this, ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. So it's important for us to take time and reflect, something that may not happen often in the high-speed culture we are in, but something that is of great necessity. Ponder the path of your feet. Where am I headed with my life? Where am I going with what I'm saying, with what I'm doing, with who I am? Ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. And there is this call to action to not swerve to the right or to the left and a turn your foot away. Don't engage willfully. When you know, this is wrong, but I'm doing it anyways. The scripture says, You are deviating from the path. You are agreeing with division in your own heart, right? You are agreeing with putting your own self down, letting sin reign. But we cannot be those that do this. So our first and biggest point today is this. Pursue wisdom, all right? Pursue wisdom. This is what we get so far from these two verses, these two sets of verses we've read, right, from Psalm, from Proverbs, is that we are to pursue wisdom. So here's what I want you to know. Obviously, if you've been around Vertical for a little bit of time, you've probably said, yes, God has spoken to me right here. I have sensed his calling on my life. I have changed. I have made a decision in my life to not do this, but to do this instead. Yes, who said, yeah, I've heard God speak here. I know his presence is real. Yes, amen to that. However, I want to say this. This is not the only place in which God speaks, right? This is not the only place in which we say, man, I need to hear from God, but it's Tuesday. Gotta wait till Sunday. Tough. Hopefully Pastor Brian uploads a great podcast, or I can go to the men's breakfast and get something. That's great, right? This is why we continue to open the doors of Vertical, because we see life change happen. We see people gather. We have the groups so that people can gather, and we have where they can share in their life together and pursue wisdom together, and that's good, and you should do that because there's a different element that happens whenever you gather with others. However, if your spiritual life is solely based on someone else feeding you truth always, that's a tough place to be in, because now you are just only solely dependent on someone else to speak truth, speak life. And as soon as you have a moment, let's just say you get sick and you are, you know, by yourself in your house or something like that, all of a sudden you're like, uh-oh, there go the thoughts. I'm spiraling. I'm gone. I'm done for. Here I go. Everything's the worst. This is tragic. I get, yes, it's important to be around others, but we ought to pursue wisdom personally. We ought to, with our own being, pursue God, yes, around others, but you ought to pursue God outside of this facility, right? Outside of just a group you might attend. Because this is our passion, that you would be equipped to do the work of ministry, that the saints would be equipped. Not just that church staff would be equipped to educate the people and then they're now dependent on us. No, that's not our goal at Vertical. That's not God's model of the church, but it's for you to be equipped. It's for you to take life into your family. It's for you to take life into every area of your job, of extended families as we get the holiday season approaching. Come on, can't wait, right? Where you get to take God into that area. And it's going to require pursuing wisdom in your time, in your life. And that's necessary, right? To pursue wisdom. And I don't just mean academically, read your Bible and get to know Greek and Hebrew. I'm not saying that. As fun, as cool as that might fire you up for others. I know it doesn't maybe fire you up all that much. But here's what I will encourage you. We ought to be those that pursue God's presence and his word, because if we know that is what changes us, like we all agreed to with the Psalms and the Proverbs passages, this is what changes us. Yes, we ought to be in our Bibles. Yes, we ought to conform our life to it, right? Then we ought to, in our own time, also say, okay, God, I'm taking time out of my day to solely pursue you. Set the phone aside, set the people aside. Maybe it's late at night, maybe it's early in the morning. I am setting time aside, Lord, to pursue you for the depths of my heart, to meditate on your word for the depths of my heart, to contemplate your word for the depths of my heart. It's good to have a place and a time where you delight and you meditate, you commune, you spend time with God, where you are pursuing his word and his presence for wisdom. Because again, as we've been saying in this series, Welcome to the Table, is that you have a seat at the table, right? And we don't want you to just get a seat at the table and then constantly sit there like a six-month-old waiting for someone to pick up a spoon and feed you, right? But we want you to say, yes, in this area of my life, God, I need your word. I need your presence. And I'm going to go to your revealed character, your revealed self, and I am going to be impacted and changed by what you have said. I'm going to pursue your wisdom and allow that to change my life. Because again, Jesus came so that we would have to have no other mediator to get to God, that we wouldn't have to go through me, my dad, old Pastor Brian, right? A church staffer, a group leader, just to get to God. But that your access to God is a free gift through the life of Jesus. That you have the ability on your time to pray to him, cry out to him, spend time with him, learn about him. This is what it looks like to pursue wisdom. And again, in doing so, it will confront the lie that says, I cannot change. That person cannot change. But instead you say, okay, God, as I'm pursuing you, you're changing me. And I'm believing that you can change someone else. I'm believing that by your power, not by my might, you will bring about change in my family. You'll bring about change in my marriage. You'll bring about change in my relationship with this child, right? We are to pursue wisdom, and that is what changes us. So now, after all that, let's get into Ephesians. Sound good? Yeah? Cool. Awesome. Ephesians 3, and we're going to start in verse 14. Ephesians 3, 14. And this is just beautiful words, again, from Paul. You all have heard the setup if you've been here for a little while. This man is a pastor to this area of Ephesus. He's writing as a spiritual father and as a pastor. And so again, I just find it awesome again. So as I've said before, my dad's the pastor here. And it's awesome seeing him coming into work every day with this same spirit that we're about to see Paul write with. So I want you to look at this. Ephesians 3, 14 and 15. He says this, for this reason, he's about to get into, I bow my knees before the Father from whom